Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home. Hey, party people. Thank you so much for being here. We're back for another episode, of course, of the Hunting for Purpose podcast because you tuned in and here you are. The podcast is such a happy place for me. I genuinely do enjoy creating this kind of content, and that's why we've been at it for so many years now. I think we're coming up on 200 episodes, which is pretty cool to think that we have talked about 200 different things, that we have been doing this for, nearly 4 years now that we've been recording this podcast. And it's definitely the place where we see probably the biggest impact on our community, which has never surprised me because manifestors have the most power and the most impact through their voice. And of course, a podcast is all about your voice. So that never ceases to amaze me, the influence that this podcast has. And it also really just warms my heart. It actually just keeps me going in creating podcast content. So even though it might not feel like such a big deal to tune into a podcast and listen, it really is. You are impacting us by choosing to listen, and it means that these resources can keep on coming. So thank you for being here and being a listener. We are tracking towards the end of our podcast season for this year. So we've got 13 episodes in this season. Today's episode is number 10. So we only have a few podcast episodes to go after this season. And I wanted to draw it as we were getting towards the end of this season. I wanted to draw it into some deeper aspects of the manifestor experience. You'll know that if you've been listening to previous episodes, maybe you're brand new here and this is your first one. Welcome, welcome. But if you are a week-on-week podcast listener, which I know so many of you are, we've sort of been moving through this whole rehash of the manifestor basics. We started off this season with talking about working in seasons as a manifestor, which is our way of informing you how things are changing this year around the community. We then did an episode on creative urges. That was a juicy one. Creative urges, the good, the bad, the ugly. So many people love that episode. I did an episode on reframing the emotional wave. Taylor did an episode. She's our amazing podcast co-host. She did an episode on how you can use your chart to change your life. We talked about manifestors and responding. We talked about the Human Design Conference that is happening here in Australia for all of our Australians. Taylor did another incredible episode called Uranian Umami, which I love. I love wordplay. It's so clever. Talking about how to use your Uranus placement to actually work with your own energy. That was such a great episode. And last week we talked about pseudo-informing. So you can see we're sort of moving through this like deeper layer, deeper layer, deeper layer. That's very representative of the way that I work. I am here to bring depth. I am here to bring depth. You'll start seeing that. Now that I've informed you of that, you'll start seeing it across everything that we do here and all the content we create, all the products we create. It's always about drawing people into a deeper journey. And today, I wanted to backtrack a little bit and go deeper on something that we've previously talked about. So today's podcast episode is, should manifestors be coaching, but revisited? Revisited because way, way, way back when. So we are talking about October 2020. So this is nearly 4 years ago. It's about 3.5 years ago. In episode 24, so when the podcast was still an absolute baby, and I think we were really only just stepping into the Manifestor community. I'd only just moved out of the coaching space that I was in, and I recorded this podcast episode called Manifestors and the Coaching Industry. It still is one of the highest ranking podcast episodes. I think it's in like our top five for listenership on that episode. Even though it's 4 years down the track, we still have people who are hearing that episode for the very first time. They scroll all the way back and find that episode and listen to it. And at least once a week, we get somebody who reaches out and says, oh my goodness, I listened to this podcast episode and whoa, like it changed everything for me. So if you haven't listened to that, you might want to go back and have a listen. It's a cute little 30-minute episode. Like I said, episode number 24. So scroll until you feel like you can't scroll anymore, and then scroll a little bit more and you'll find episode 24. It's in October 2020 for those who are doing it by date. And in that podcast episode, I shared about how I was moving away from my journey as a six-figure spiritual business coach, how I had shut down my entire coaching business, and I was just in the process of reestablishing as a human design teacher who desperately did not want to be doing coaching anymore. And I was sharing about all of the aspects of being a coach, of being in the coaching industry as well, that I just was finding were not really congruent with the Manifestor energy and being in the Manifestor experience. That episode has spoken to so many people, I think, because the online space is so flooded with coaching. It's still very much seen in the online space, particularly when you're starting out, that coaching is the only way to get started, that you have to be able to coach and be as successful as a coach before you can do what you really want to do, right? Before you can be like a content creator, or before you can be a teacher, or before you can be a course creator or whatever. I think that coaching is still seen as this is the entryway access point, and you need to prove that you can make it as a coach, if you, especially in this sort of spirituality, personal development space. I think if you are doing any work in any way that's related with the self-help industry, coaching is encouraged and seen as like this is how you pay your dues. And there's a very specific process to that. It's expected that everybody goes through the process of starting off with one-on-one coaching. And once you've filled out your one-on-one coaching books and you've got that under your belt, then you can move on to doing group coaching. And once you've started selling out your group coaching programs, then you can have these high-level containers where you charge a lot of money. And once you have been able to establish yourself in that place and you are able to say, oh, I am that six-figure entrepreneur, look at me. You know, I'm consistently pulling six figures, then you get to have the freedom to do what you actually want to do then, right? Because you've proven yourself. And I think that that's really enticing to manifestors. It's enticing to everyone, but it's really enticing to manifestors who are wanting to break out of a career that doesn't feel aligned, wanting to move away from that 9-to-5 business model, right? Like, ooh, I'm so sick of being told what to do by somebody else and having to show up to work. And I want freedom and I want independence and I want to do things my own way. And oh, look, well, I could do this. I could coach people in things that I'm really passionate about. And so we get drawn into this vortex. That was really what sparked me to record that old podcast all of those years ago. And I feel like there's something that's sort of been shifting lately around the coaching industry and around how manifestors are showing up in it, that I wanted to do a revisitation. I wanted to speak to that again because I think we've initiated some movement here, guys, and it's time to have a checkpoint on that again and to acknowledge where we've grown and just to re-see all of it, right? Is this still true for us? Is this still accurate? Or have we learned things and has the environment around us potentially shifted a little bit? So there were a few things that I addressed in that first podcast episode about the ways that manifestors struggle to be coaches and to fit into the coaching industry. And I want to relook at each of those things and do a review and say, is this still true or is it not? Have we maybe seen a growth here? So I'm going to take you through each of those things, and fingers crossed, this actually resonates with people. Perhaps those people who are still struggling with being a coach and a manifestor, perhaps with those people who have left coaching behind, perhaps even with those people who really are crushing it as coaches and who are also manifestors. But let's just have a really open conversation about where manifestors are sitting in the coaching industry and giving you some information to decide for yourself in the most aligned way. Should I be a coach as a manifestor? Does it actually work for me? So let's start off with strategies. The coaching industry strategies. I'm laughing because I love strategy. I actually love strategy. For those who are aware of the variables on the chart, I am a quad left, which means all of those little arrows up by your head, all of mine face left. I am, quite frankly, the most organized, structured manifestor that I know. I have never met anybody in the manifestor space who is as organized as me. I'm so quad left. I'm so strategic. I'm so routined. I'm so organized that it gives me an amazing grounding place. Even though I'm splenic, and so I'm very kind of off with the pixies. I move in an intuitive flow. There's never really kind of a solid evidence for anything before we do it. But that quad leftness grounds me. So I actually adore conversations about strategy. I love playing in the business strategy field. I feel like being a quad left is one of the many reasons why business has always been a great area for me. I've been in business ownership now going into my 16th year. I'm an old veteran business owner. The online space is not my first rodeo. I have done this before. It's a very different rodeo in the online space, but I was in business for 10 years before I was online. So business strategy is my nerd out topic. I adore it. And yet, when we start talking about the strategies that are utilized by the coaching industry, I want to jam the snooze button so hard. Like I want to take a hammer and smash that thing down to the ground. I hate talking about strategies in the coaching industry because it feels so restrictive to the manifestor energy. And that's very likely coming from the experience that I had utilizing these strategies. So I don't want to shit all over the strategies and say they're all terrible. You can't ever use any of them. My encouragement to people is always experiment with a strategy. And if it doesn't align with your energy, then stop using it. But there are things that I think that we can look at with an educated guess and say, I think that as a strategy, that's probably not going to work for my manifestor energy. So maybe that's not the best thing to experiment with. And unfortunately, a number of the strategies in the coaching industry that are used by everyone, or by most people at least, are just not particularly energetically aligned with the manifestor. These are the strategies around responding. So look at the social media strategies that you need to enlist as a coach. You need to respond to every comment. You need to respond to every DM. You need to go out and find clients. You need to chase people. Go and engage on their social media. Get them into DMs, right? You need to be doing a lot of marketing, producing a lot of content, and constantly be producing content that is the thing that people want. You need to be doing, like, you know, beta testing. We need to be doing polls and votes and question boxes and ask me anything. What does my audience want? Then I'm going to be the kind of, I call it the manifested jukebox. Like, I'll be the one that creates it for you. If that's what you want, ta-da, I will initiate that for you, like this little initiation fairy. You need to be repeating your programs and trying to scale the launch every single time you do it, doing discovery calls where you're trying to convince people to work with you, getting people into DMs to sell them in DMs, you know, having this conversation back and forth in DMs. All of these things are completely standard strategies for a coaching business. And I think that in large part, a number of these strategies very much do work for other energy types. That has been what I have witnessed, is that a lot of these strategies are actually quite aligned and quite balanced for other energy types. But as a manifestor, all of these strategies are kind of trash, in my experience. For some of you, we're going to go into this a little bit later in the podcast episode. For some of you who have maybe different aspects of your design as a manifestor, some of these things might work better for you. I have found overall that these are strategies that are super based on responding, and they're super based on providing people what they're asking for rather than initiating people from your energy as a manifestor. And so generally speaking, these strategies don't support the manifestor energy type. I think that that is still true. It's still true that these strategies have not particularly evolved, that the manifestor energy has not changed. And so a lot of these strategies that are really required to make success in the coaching industry are not going to be the place that is the best fit for your manifestor energy. The cool thing is that as a manifestor, you can create new strategies, right? You're the leader. You can create completely different ways of doing things. And so if you really feel aligned with coaching, but the strategies that other people are utilizing and getting a lot of success from, and they're selling out their big launches and they're filling up their one-on-one books and they're doing all of these things that are working for them because they have responsive energy, even our projectors, right? They're responding to invitations. Then you can switch it up. You don't have to follow that rule book. If you're invested in working in the coaching industry as a manifestor, that doesn't mean that you need to follow the same strategies that everyone else does. Create strategies that work for you. But yeah, the standard coaching industry strategies, still, it's true, don't really work with the manifestor energy. Okay, the other thing that I mentioned in that first podcast was that I find that coaching as a business model is more naturally aligned with other energy types. It's more naturally aligned with our projectors who are here to guide and teach. They have that penetrating energy that works beautifully with people. So they love hand holding, they love coaching, they love guiding people through a process from beginning to end and seeing them emerge at the end. We've got generators and manifesting generators who are extraordinary at responding. They get lit up and fulfilled and satisfied by responding. They're really great at interacting with people on that level, in putting like sunshine into the processes and the systems that they're creating. Even our reflectors, to a certain degree, I think are better as coaches than potentially the manifestor energy is, as long as they're doing it on their own terms. Reflectors have an incredible ability to reflect back to someone. So as a coach, they have this very sort of soft, loving approach. They're never going to be able to do coaching at the volume that other people are able to do it, our projectors and our sacral beings. But They do have an ability to meet people where they're at in their journey and journey with them for a while. That's quite aligned. And this is still very true. It's still very true that I think coaching as a model of business is more naturally aligned with the other energy types. It's not particularly aligned for a manifestor to be in a space where we're doing that coaching model, where we are working with somebody through a process. And the reason that I say that is because the manifestor energy is designed to initiate. It's designed to catalyze, right? So we start the fire. We are the match on the firework and then we watch it go off in the sky. We are the first domino in the line. So we as the domino knock down and then all of the other dominoes fall down after us. The manifestor is the energy that goes first. So we can be powerful coaches, super powerful coaches, because we can initiate people into massive transformation, especially if they are available and open for it. We have a very powerful throat. We can speak to people in ways that really shift things for them, right? We can bring these things up that have been submerged and actually bring people into a whole different way of experiencing life. So I think when we're talking about a transformation process, you cannot get anybody more powerful than a manifestor, because just being in a manifestor's space as a client is going to activate you into massive change. However, the traditional model that we've got of coaching is that a coach is invested in your outcome. A coach is invested in your outcome. So a coach is the person who is there to hold your hand and walk with you and support you for every step along the journey until you reach that outcome. This is why projectors are so amazing at it. Manifestors have this energy that is not designed to handhold. Not naturally. We're not naturally inclined to be energetic beings that want to be in the process with someone, right? We don't want to hold your hand through the process. We just want to activate you into the process and then observe what you do with it. We want to observe what you do with it. We don't want to nurture you and mother you. That sounds a truly like a terrible way of putting it, but I think that's the blunt reality of being a manifestor for most of us, that generally speaking, we don't get a lot of peace or satisfaction or fulfillment out of being very, very up close with somebody and holding them as they move through their journey. And with everything that I'm saying, I want you to take it with a grain of salt, please. And again, we're going to get to why, but there are manifestors who are very aligned with coaching. And so if you're one of those manifestors, please don't sit there listening to this episode feeling like, oh my gosh, she's trashing me as a manifestor. I'm not. I think there are some manifestors who are uniquely designed to be coaches. I'm talking in a broad brush level where we're looking at these kind of major themes in the coaching industry and these major themes that are universal to manifestors and seeing where they fit and where they don't. So this means that as a manifestor who is in the coaching industry, when we're really dedicated to coaching, you really need to work on recklessly trusting yourself to do coaching differently, to be the type of coach that does initiate people, that does catalyze people, that's the transformation that you offer. That is the work that you offer. I am the person who is here to light the freaking fire for you. And then the rest is on you. And I'll cheer you on and I'll observe you. And if needed, maybe I've got other resources that I can bring in to support you, but I'm not going to be a projector and I'm not going to be a generator. I'm not going to be a manifesting generator. So manifestors who are these fire starters really need to find success, I believe, in coaching in the way that our energy is designed to move. So being the coach that does it differently, this takes a lot of informing. A lot of informing. The people that I've seen do this successfully that are manifestors are the ones that are just beasts at informing because they have created a platform and a brand and content all around like I'm going against the grain. I'm doing it differently. So when people come into their space, they know that this coach is super different from all the other coaches. They know that they're getting this entirely different experience from this coach. Right. So informing is really where it's at to be that aligned initiator, be that aligned fire starter, and also be in a coaching industry that is designed for hand holding. Now, the last thing is, in that original podcast episode, I talked about how manifestors can get really damaged by the coaching industry because we're not understood. Now, there is another podcast episode that was from around that same time. I think if you want to go and have a listen to it, that's called Should Manifestors Have Coaches? So in this revisitation, I'm talking about whether manifestors should be coaches. But if you want to take that from the other angle of should manifestors have coaches, definitely find that episode and go back and have a listen to it because it's a completely different take. Receiving coaching is different from being the one who is coaching. But even as manifestors who are coaches, I talked about how there can be quite a bit of damage to us because we do coaching differently. And so we don't get understood by the rest of the coaching industry. And I think that this is still true, but, and a big old but here, the more you are able to understand your own energetic needs and your own energetic skill set, which is why your chart is amazing because it's got the blueprint there for you, the more you can use the coaching industry to your advantage. This is about being able to play the game. Everything is a game. This whole thing, like social media is a game and business is a game and all of these industries that we work in are a game, and there's sub-industry on sub-industry on sub. They're just a games everywhere. Over the last couple of years, I've been working with like the traditional publishing industry, working on getting a book published in the traditional publishing industry. And that, my friends, is a game. I've had to learn all the rules of that game. That's its own industry. Instagram is its own game. Everything is. And the coaching industry is the same. It's its own game. It's got its own rules. And as a manifestor, it's so important for us to gain mastery over that, to know what the rules are of the game that we have entered ourselves into playing, so that we can break them, so that we can, with a lot of authority and a lot of alignment and a lot of energetic integrity, say, that's not going to work for me. I'm going to create a new pathway with things that do work for me, because maybe that is going to be something that is good for other people too. If I make the path that is correct for me, then other people might need that path too. This is how manifestors work. We get this crazy idea that manifestors are only here to create completely brand new things, that we can't ever create anything. Like it's not a justified creation from a manifestor if we're just taking something that other people have done. Heck no. Manifestors are here to create new things, yes, but we are also here to kind of burn down what's not working and create a new pathway from it. Manifestors are the kings and queens of death and rebirth. We're the royalty of that transformation process. So when we enter into an industry that is working in a particular way, like the coaching industry, and that doesn't work for us, we have the energetic ability and the energetic skill set to say, ah, I've identified why that's not working for me, and now I'm going to create a path that does work for me. I'm going to revolutionize this and build this whole new road, this whole new pathway. And I'm doing that purely for me. But the ripple effect that that has is that there are going to be other people who needed this pathway, because I, as a manifestor, I only receive the urge to create something when it's of benefit to the collective. It's always of benefit. So we can damage ourselves by trying to fit in with the coaching industry. If we're manifestors who are also coaches, and we're trying to follow the strategies that everyone else is using to succeed, and we're trying to like stick around and coach these people in 6 month long arrangements or 12 month long arrangements. We're trying to run, you know, coaching programs and containers that even are like 3 months. Most manifestors will struggle with that, because it's a lot of investment of your energy into another person when really our energy is just there to start it off. So the way that we get damaged is by trying to fit in, and by trying to do it the way that everybody else is doing it, in the hope that we're going to succeed if we do that. That's my dogs playing with each other in the background, if you heard that. Whereas what's beautiful about a manifestor is that they can come into an established industry and say, great, let's shake this up. Let's do it differently. We also see that manifesting generators do this. This is an incredibly beautiful quality of the manifesting generator, their ability to innovate. However, manifesting generators are naturally quite aligned with the coaching industry. And so I personally don't see heaps of manifesting generators in the coaching industry shifting things around, because they're very responsive, they're very creative, they're very engaged, they can do things long-term, they can do multiple things at once. Right? Generally speaking, just to clarify, a generator is going to be better at doing long-term things than a manifesting generator. However, a manifesting generator can definitely repeat programs. They've got that sacral energy to keep showing up for things. A manifestor doesn't have any of that. Right? So a manifestor is going to come into a coaching space, if we're really dedicated to coaching, because that's a line for us to do if we want to, and say, none of this is working for me. So I either betray myself and damage myself to fit in the hope that I'll succeed, or I change it to do things my way in the belief that if that's good for me, it's going to be good for someone else. So this is why I said the more that you understand your own energetic skills and your own energetic needs, the more that you're going to use the industry to your advantage. I want to make this like a super clear example, because this can get really muddled, all of this sort of like fluffy language, like you do it your way. Let me give you some solid grounding here. So you might know, or you might not know, that our beautiful podcast co-host, Taylor, works with us in a number of other capacities. So particularly within our Manifest and Mastery program, we run it at a program level or a certification level. Taylor and I work pretty closely in that space. So just recently, we've been running through a series of bonus calls called Catalytic Communion, which have been really fun. Taylor and I will often teach together. We, you know, share the podcast hosting space as well. And the reason that we do that is because Taylor and I are energetically quite opposite. So we're manifestors, yes, but I'm a splenic and she's an emotional. I'm a 4-6 and she's a 1-3. I'm a single definition and she's a split definition. We have these very contrasted parts of our energy. And when we put that together, as well as I'm a quad left, she's an almost quad right. She's got three right facing arrows. When we put those oppositional energies together, we find that we're able to represent a broader scope of the manifestor experience. And one of the ways that this shows up really awesomely is in the way that we operate in our business. So when we're dealing with our audiences, right, our model of business, the way that we teach, the way that we create content, we do that completely differently. Completely differently. So the aspects of my design that speak to how I'm most aligned with running business and with engaging with customers are at the opposite end of the spectrum to the aspects of Taylor's design that speak to that. In particular, I am a single definition manifester. Taylor is a split definition manifester. What that means is my energy centers that are defined in my body, they all speak to each other. So I have this very internalized process, right? I don't often need input from other people. I hear what's happening inside my body. It's all speaking to each other. It all moves quite quickly in its own flow. I appreciate the quietness. I don't enjoy working closely with other people. I enjoy doing my part of the work and then collaborating with other people to amplify it. Whereas Taylor is a split definition, which means she has splits in the way that her internal energy is speaking. She's got gaps in between her defined energy centers, so they're not all speaking to each other. Taylor works incredibly in an environment where she's got other people's energy interacting with her own that is helping her to connect all of that energy up. So when she's initiating and when she's creating, she works amazingly in an environment where there's partnership, where there's people who are working with her in that, because it helps her move her energy around and create what it is that she's meaning to create. That's one aspect. That means that Taylor is more aligned with a coaching environment than I am. I'm much more aligned with a kind of broad scale organizational environment. But additionally, there's this cool area of your human design chart that you can look at. And this is where Gene Key starts to weave in. I'm not going to do an in-depth teaching. So please, for the love of all that is holy, do not contact us to ask for more on this. We teach this inside our Manifest and Mastery program. You've got to map it through the whole Gene Keys. But you can have a look on your chart to find your unconscious Jupiter. So the unconscious side is the planets that are listed down the left side of your chart. They're usually red, but on some generators, they're different colors. Determine what the Jupiter symbol is, which is this little kind of four-looking symbol, but you can Google that. And you want to look at the gate that sits underneath that, because this gate speaks to the level of audience that you are designed to work with. So how do you actually connect with people in your audience? How do you work with people? How do you attract people to you? How is it aligned for you to be engaging with other people? Now, you're going to have a gate and you're going to have a line. So it might be maybe gate 21, line 2, and that will show up like 21.2. That's just an example. For the purposes of this podcast episode, we're going to focus on the line mostly. My gate, just so that you're aware, my gate in that placement is gate 26, which means that I'm really here to use language and use this expression of language in really creative and crafty ways to give people what they need in the way that they need it. It's very like a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. I'm going to wrap things in packages and give them to you in the way that you need it, in order to swallow it, because it was the medicine and the resource that you needed all along. That gate alone is what we call a tribal gate. The energy is tribal. So for me, attracting my audience to me and working with people in my audience is actually not about meeting everyone's needs. It's only about meeting the needs of the people in my immediate inner circle. That's a collective energy would be the one that would speak to connecting with everyone. Okay, so that alone is important, just looking at the circuitry around that gate. But what's more important here for the purpose of this podcast episode is to look at the line expression. You're going to have a number that is 1 through to 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. My line expression is a line 4. So I'm gate 26, line 4. That means that that line 4 expression means that I am here to work at a network level. So I am here to work at this big community level, these big groups of people where I'm not intimately connecting with people. I'm not working one-on-one. I'm not working in small groups. I'm not even working in large groups. I'm working at an organizational community network, big social body of people level. I'm hoping that all of you listening are now immediately seeing why I don't do one-on-one, why I don't offer coaching. I don't do one-on-one. You don't get to have one-on-one calls with me. I barely even run group calls for any of our programs. I am not designed to operate at that level. And when I let go of that, I experienced a huge increase in the prosperity in my business and in my work. So that's where I focus. I focus on connecting with people at this community level. But Taylor, now I don't know if she's listening to this, but correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor. I think Taylor is a line 2 expression here, which is about partnership. Taylor is designed to work with her audience at a partnership level, which means one-on-one actually does work for her. And small groups do work for her. And collaborating closely in partnership with people works for her. Taylor has a business partner that she works with that is excellent for her. I do not have a business partner and never will have a business partner. Just that one aspect of your chart alone can change so much about whether you are aligned with coaching or whether you are not. I am not aligned with coaching. I am not aligned with coaching. Can I coach? Yes. Do people get great results? Yes. Do people receive these big transformational outcomes? Yes. Is that good for my energy? No. And so I resent it and I get angry about it and it puts me out of alignment and I get burnt out and it makes it feel like impacting people is so hard and earning money is so difficult. Taylor, however, does incredibly well in those dynamics. However, she's also completely focused on just initiating and catalyzing people. She doesn't run long-term. She doesn't handhold people in this up-close intimate practice. Another great example of this is Vanessa Henry. She's a 6-2 ego manifester. The one-on-one things that Vanessa offers is that you can work with her in private mentorship where you only have Voxer access to her a few days a week. I think it's Monday to Friday that she will commune with you and converse with you in Voxer and she'll send you some prompts. She's catalyzing you. She's offering you these short, sharp transformations. Use some of my manifestifier, transform, move around. We're going to work with each other in these short-term, not full-on one-on-one access containers. However, there are other people who do beautifully with having, you know, one-on-one clients that they meet with every week and they have Voxer access and they have whatever email support and they're part of the group programs. Generally speaking, those are other energy types that work well with that arrangement. So this is what I'm saying. If you can pay attention and learn about these different energetic skills that you've got in your chart, you can start using the coaching industry to your advantage. You can connect with people in a coaching arrangement that is not forcing yourself to use strategies that don't work for your energy. That's not forcing you to try to behave like a projector when you're actually a manifestor. And that's not meaning that you need to follow all of the rules of this established industry when actually you're here to break those rules. You can learn to meet the coaching requirements, right? And by that I mean You can learn to be an amazing coach. You can learn to be this person that does have a huge influence in the coaching space, right? Have clients who get amazing results. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You just have to do it your way. We do so well when we work with other people. It's one little thing that I want to wrap up on here. Manifestors do so well when we work with other people. We have for far too long been warped into this belief that as manifestors, we're here to go it alone, that we're here to be completely independent and never working with anyone and just doing our own stuff. It's false, guys. That is so false. We actually don't have the energy to go completely alone. Yes, we need to be sovereign. Yes, to a certain degree, we need to be independent. We need to be recklessly self-trusting and placing that above other people's permission and other people's comfort. However, we don't have the energy to do the beginning to end process. We don't, whether that's in business, in relationships, in life, in anything, we need other people's energy to complete the whole process of the thing that we are initiating. We are the beginning step. We're the beginning step. So we need to work with other people to do all of those other steps with us. Sometimes that's other manifestors, sometimes it's other energy types. But we learn to complement each other to bring more resources and more support to more people. So even if you are a coach and you find that these aspects of your design are super aligned with you being a coach and being a manifestor and you're doing it your own way and it's awesome and you're still not thriving, maybe that's because you're expecting yourself to do the whole end-to-end process, when really you're just designed to start the fire. That's where you are most powerful. And you can work with other people to bring in those maintenance, those sustainings, those closings, those all of those things that your manifestor energy doesn't want to lend itself towards. Because in doing that, you actually bring more resources to your community. You bring more support to your community. You amplify the experience of your clients more and more and more and more and more. And you experience more success and more wealth and more abundance and more prosperity and all of those things that we're aiming for. We're here to work with each other. We genuinely are here to work with each other. And that has been one of the biggest things that I have learned from having the team of staff that I have. I've always been in staffing because I've been in business for a really long time, but it's been a really beautiful experience here at the Manifestor community taking on staffing, because it's meant that my work has been able to reach so many more people, and I'm more and more and more aligned the more I allow other people to invest their energy into bringing this into being a collaborative effort. Even though, as I just said, I'm here to work at a network level. I'm not here to work with partnership. I'm not here to work one-on-one. That's not my design. But still, I have experienced so much prosperity and so much amplification from collaborating with people to bring the skills of their energy and the skills of my energy together so that whole process is done and it really brings a holistic experience to our customers and clients. I think that one of the most beautiful places to start with finding people, if this makes you curious about, oh my gosh, who could I actually work with? The most beautiful place to start is in community. The Manifestor community is a very safe place to start. I cannot tell you the number of stories that I know and that we've received from manifestors who've met in the comments on one of our posts, or they've met through the Facebook group, and now they're working with each other, they're friends with each other, they meet up for coffee. We literally just got a story last week, which we'll share more with you guys over the coming weeks, but these two manifestors who met in our community, who started dating and they just got married. We have our first community marriage, guys. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. All of the people that work with me came from this community. So the community here is a beautifully safe place to start with connecting with people who can support your work and you can support their work, and who knows what you are able to initiate together. For this year, one of the resources that we're providing for helping people to connect with other manifestors is that we're running incubator calls. So I'm going to put the notes for that, the links in the show notes for you, so you can go and check out what it's all about. But it's a pay what you can community call. Come meet with other manifestors in a group setting and also in a one-on-one setting. These are your people. These are your people. So if you're in the coaching industry and you're finding that you need that support, incubator calls are an amazing place to start getting those connections built. If you are in the coaching industry and feeling like it's not aligned for you and you need it to put it down, my gosh, come to the incubator call, because I guarantee you, you're going to meet other manifestors who are experiencing the same things. Overall, coaching can be amazing for manifestors as long as you are doing it your own way. You've got to be doing it your own way. We cannot conform to a system that works for other people and other energy types and then expect to experience alignment and peace in it. But overall, what I'm encouraging you to do is ask yourself the question, why am I in coaching? If I am in coaching and I'm not feeling peaceful and I'm not feeling aligned and I'm not receiving the success that I feel like I have been working towards, why did I start coaching in the first place? Was it actually a creative urge? Was I led towards doing this? Or did I perhaps think that this was the place where I needed to pay my dues? We can fall into that space so easily without even knowing that we're doing it. And you can be a really powerful coach as a manifestor. And it is also absolutely okay for you to say, the coaching industry just does not work for my manifestor energy. And so I am going to be something different. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a facilitator. I'm going to be a healer. I'm going to be a whatever, a retreat coordinator. You get to make the box and the platform from which you work. And if it's feeling too small, then you get to break it and you get to remake another one that's bigger and that's more tailored and more customized, because the more you do that, the more impact you have and the more success you experience. Oh, guys, that's it for me. My voice is just about to tap out. I need to go and have a rest. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really curious about whether this episode lands with you. So definitely keep me informed about this one by commenting on the podcast episode, sharing it on your social media, whatever you would like. We would really like to know how this one sits with you and whether this has initiated you into more spaciousness around your work, if you are a coach or if you're somebody who has perhaps left coaching behind. As always, thank you so much for being here and listening. Next week, you are going to be getting an episode from our beautiful co-host, Taylor. The week after, I am introducing you to a phenomenal manifestor astrologer who you are going to love. And then after that, we have our final podcast episode for the year. I'm going to keep the title of that one secret so you can look forward to it. This has been a really beautiful season. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And I am going to go and have a nap. So until I catch you again in a few podcast episodes' time, keep hunting for purpose. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to, or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.